Well, as they meet with their mentors every week, right. they're having an open dialogue rather than just texting back and forth. It's an open an open dialogue.
Honestly, with the technology, one of the hardest things is to teach students how to use technology appropriately. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids that we're getting at the high school now have been exposed to technology since the day they were born. Mm-hmm. So many of them had those little basic computers when they were little. They've had Sesame Street and all of those wonderful programs that both teach and entertain. And they've had all of that. And then they get into the middle school and the high school, and oh, this is boring. But when we are able to teach them the skills to learn, they start finding out how exciting learning can be and how putting your phone away, staying off of Pinterest, and actually focusing on one thing at a time is important. Students your age, Lisa, knew how to do that so much better than students today. Yeah. That's probably the biggest drawback that I've seen to technology. And not to computers. It's been before they get to the schools. Mm-hmm. Is that inability to focus. This is really funny because Mr. Messley came to the high school this year and he's been doing the 10 minutes of reading at the beginning of every class, which I used to do decades ago and I dropped it. I started it again with my sophomores, and that 10 minutes is one of the most energetic moments in my life because I watch these students reading their books, focusing on one thing for 10 minutes. And I'm already reaping the benefits of that because they're more likely, when we're doing assignments, to stay engaged longer on their assignments. I'm seeing a huge difference this year.
Good.
And it's just that 10 minutes of focus. And they just need practice at it again.
Yeah, yeah. We have spent so much time trying to entertain them that we've forgotten to teach them how to entertain themselves.
Right.
Use their own creative minds that they were given
right.
at birth. So right. We've kind of been all over the place, but one comment actually that I have heard said a lot is, the teachers like it because it's less responsibility.
Oh, sorry. Did I laugh?
So address that for me.
Actually, what I've discovered is that the teacher always has been, still is, and always will be the heart of the face-to-face classroom.
Agreed.
Gone are the days when we need to sift through volumes of ideas, try to piecemeal our stuff together. We have this platform that has lots of resources, and we have such fantastic PD training, professional development training from the Summit community. We have, I'm on the Summit Facebook page tons of all the time, asking teachers from other places questions and helping other teachers with answers that this is what I've done. The aim is to get our students actively involved in seeking knowledge. So their role, the student's role, is not simply to just do the tasks decided by the teacher when the teacher says them and the way the teacher says to do them. Their task now is to manage and understand their own learning. So Summit helps both the teacher and the student. As teachers, we're able to evaluate instantly, real time, whether the student has learned the skill, the concept, and then we can completely change our lesson plans right away if they're not learning it. And the vibrant nature of this program is so huge. We can be more strategic with how we spend our time, with which students we spend our time. We can provide materials to those who are self-directed and then go and help the ones who are not quite so self-directed or who are really struggling and are frustrated. Like I said, I'm not in the front of the room as much nearly. I go student by student. I go around the table. I hit my 10,000 steps typically right after lunch now, and it's just in my little tiny classroom. Mm-hmm. And so the teacher's role is more important than ever. And you and I were talking, and Jared, I'm sorry I'm going to throw you under the bus here, but Lisa and I were talking about how tired we are by the end of the day, not just physically tired, but emotionally tired and mentally tired. And I know our students are too, but I think that's great. That means we're all doing a good job.
Yeah. And it's not as much. One thing I've noticed with my husband at home is he still has a basic what is the word, lesson plan, as far as I have to cover this much material in this much time. But now it also breaks off into multiple little lesson plans. Like you were just talking about how, okay, I know that so-and-so is a tactical learner. They like to be able to touch and feel and do to learn, where someone else can just read it, see it, hear it. That's it. They're done.
Right.
And so he's constantly changing the way he's teaching. Yeah. And it's on a much more personal level because he knows the kids better. Mm-hmm. Because he has time for that one-on-one versus, I have 30 kids in this classroom to take care of. I don't have time to find out what Johnny's struggling with today. And so, yes, it's a different concept, but the education is far better once we embrace it and accept
it. Right. And we have to struggle through this initial learning curve. There's just no two ways around it. It's hard. I don't think I've ever worked harder in my life, but I'm also working smarter and more strategically. And although there's some days where I'm not sure if I've made a connection, there's other days when I know I have. I had a sub yesterday because I took the student council up to ISU, and I caught the sub just as she was leaving school yesterday, and she gave the kids the best compliment. She said, I'm trying to phrase this so it doesn't sound horrible from last year, but these are my sophomores, and she said they were so fun and engaged, and they worked so hard, she couldn't believe they were the same freshmen that she used to sub for last year. And no, they're not the same, because so many of them have really caught on to what they're able to do with this program.
Yeah, I think it's great. Okay, so we need to address two comments that were sent in, and we'll do this and then kind of let you just wrap up your feelings about a summit. But one of the complaints that came in, both of these are kind of from the middle school. The seventh graders are doing the summit learning program this year. They're the only grade in the middle school that is doing it. And one of the complaints was, I'm tired of spending 2 to 3 hours every night in front of the middle school doing homework because the Chromebooks won't work at home.
Okay, what I did was I contacted both one of the teachers at the middle school and our tech person. Mm-hmm. And the answer that I got is that, to their knowledge, this has been resolved. Yes, it was a problem at home. And in fact, some of our students at the high school were having that problem at the beginning of the year where they couldn't connect. But the tech people have been working really long and hard hours on that, and to their knowledge, it's been resolved. The middle school teacher said, and I'm quoting, I'm wondering when these questions were submitted because this issue has been resolved for some time, as far as they know. So if it's still an issue, they need to let the school know.
Right. There's no reason why you should have to spend 2 to 3 hours a night in front of the middle school.
Yeah.
Call somebody.
Yeah.
Get it straightened out. Okay, so that's kind of the answer to that. And then another complaint that I heard that someone submitted was at the middle school, again, we're doing a minimum of four hours a night homework for certain subjects. And they were concerned about that because they wanted to know why they weren't having more time during the day to work on those projects, why they were being sent home with those projects.
I'm going to give you, first of all, just a memory that brought back to me when I read that question. I just remembered when my daughter, who just turned 31, when she was at the middle school. And so this is pre-summit, pre-computers, you know, all of that. And I remember her coming home from the middle school and having 3 to 4 hours of homework a night. So I'm sorry, that's not new. However, this is the answer I got from the middle school teacher. Okay, and I'm just going to quote, I'm just going to read what she said. The length of homework at night issue has also been addressed at parent meetings, but there was one class where kids were experiencing overly long nightly homework. Our principal has worked directly with the teacher to reformat some things in an effort to reduce homework times. We don't anticipate kids should be having multiple hours of homework at night if they are keeping up and utilizing their student-directed learning time at school.
Okay, so how much student-directed learning time do you guys offer at the high school?
Good, I'm glad you didn't ask me about the middle school. I was going to look up their schedule again, and I forgot.
If the parent who talked to me about this is correct, they only offer one day.
Okay, here's how the high school works. All I can do is address the high school.
And that's hearsay. All I can say is that
they actually have their mentor time every single day. And so that part I don't know. I don't remember how long it is. It's their former advisory time. Now it's their mentor time.
Right.
So at the high school, you know, the students have 5 periods a day. And within those five, and then the mentor time at the end of the day for 75 minutes or 70 minutes. And what we've done is every Monday in the English classroom, at least 40 minutes is devoted to student-directed learning time. And Tuesdays, it's the math classes. Wednesdays, it's the, I think, social studies class. No, Wednesdays, science, and Thursdays, social studies. And those are within the classroom. But a lot of our teachers have turned the entire class period into student-directed learning time, and they'll do a quick mini lesson at the beginning, and then students are expected to work on what they need to work on. First of all, of course, for that class, because the idea is that the classroom teacher is there with them.
Right.
And so on Monday, all of my English classes have at least 40 minutes of time where they're working first on the English. Sometimes it's on the content in the class. Sometimes it's on their focus assessments. Sometimes it's on mini workshops for skills where I'm breaking students apart and doing that. And then on Tuesdays, of course, it's every single math class. And so that adds up to, you know, a minimum of, what, four times four, 160 minutes a week.
A week.
Plus
right.
their mentor time.
Right.
Which is another 280 minutes a week.
Okay.
And the students who utilize that time do very, very well.
Right. And am I correct, and I may be wrong here, but on the mentor time, they're in with their mentor teacher. That's an opportunity for the mentor teacher to check in with them. They look at their grades. They say, oh, you've got some reds, which means incompletes in this class or whatever. What can I do to help you with that? But also, if they need some extra help in that area, are they allowed to go to that particular teacher during that time, or how does that work?
They are, as long as they've planned it ahead of time.
So the teacher knows they're coming.
Right, right. Okay. And so what each of us has is some laminated passes that the students can request, and we tell them, I tell my kids, don't come in before 3:30, because between 3 and 3:30, I'm doing my check-ins, and I just need to focus on my mentees. And then the students who need some extra help can come in at 3:30. And some teachers don't mind that they come in at any time, and then they'll just talk with those students in between. It just, and some teachers don't ask them to prepare ahead of time. Sometimes it's difficult, and that's when the teachers talk to each other. And, you know, can Gabe come into my classroom because he was really struggling today? And it's really increased our communication between students and teachers and teachers and teachers.
Right.
So, yes, they can when it's needed.
Okay. So the whole, I guess the answer to this question then is they are given time during the school day. And if there is still excessive homework and you feel that there may be a problem, whether it's a problem with too much being assigned or your student not utilizing their time, which it could be a little of both, then they need to address that with the teacher or the administration at the school.
Definitely. And, you know, they really should try to follow the quote-unquote chain of command.
Chain of command.
Go to the teacher first.
Right.
As a teacher, I don't always realize how much time the assignment's going to take. I know how much time I hope it takes.
Right.
But if there is somebody struggling, I need to know so that I can individualize what that student's doing. I've individualized for several of my students where they're able to do things a little bit differently because that's what they need. But I don't know to do that unless the parent comes to me.
Right, right. And it's much nicer, and we all can relate to this. I would much rather get talked to personally than get called to the principal's office. And so, yeah, that chain of command. Go to the teacher first. Yeah. Set up an appointment. Don't just walk in their door and bombard them. But
an email is the absolute easiest way to get a hold of us. We all have school emails for the teachers. Right. It's their first initial and last name, and then at blsd.net.
Right.
And I love getting emails.
Well, I'm going to start emailing you.
Do, please.
Okay. All right. Why don't you just wrap up? Tell us your feelings on Summit. You've, like you said, you've been teaching for a long time, and you've seen all different kinds of teaching. And so you might have the best perspective as far as an educator on the differences and how you feel about it. How do you feel about Summit?
I'm going to just wrap up with, well, first of all, of course, I'm very pro-Summit. And I make no bones about that.
Right.
I love the way it is challenging us as teachers to be more involved with our students, to know them, to understand them. You know, 30 years ago, I remember saying, I don't want to know what my students do at home. I really don't want to. And now I'm saying, what did you do over the weekend? What was really fun? What was a low point? What's going on in your life? I love that. I also love the challenge it's given me, somebody who was born in a time with TV and three channels, and I was the channel changer in my family.
Turn the dial.
Yeah. To learning all of this technology and seeing the future as the positive future it can be. I love that. I'm going to just wrap it up with that question that somebody asked, how does this prepare students for college?
Yeah, thank you.
And so how does learning how to learn, staying focused, being self-directed, exploring interests, and being able to evaluate the information you come across not prepare you for college? You know, this whole thing prepares us for life. I was talking with my niece yesterday at ISU, and she was talking about how she is very involved in her own learning. Now, she did not attend a summit school. Mm-hmm. However, she attended a charter school up in Idaho Falls that uses the same types of strategies as those on the Summit platform. See, it's not just Summit who uses these strategies,
right,
who teaches these skills. But she has done very well in college. I am positive had she gone to a traditional high school, she would not have done well. Mm-hmm. She would have struggled. She would have slid by with D's. That's just the kind of person she is. But in the school she was at, she was challenged to become in charge of herself and her own learning. And with, I think she would have failed. I think she would have flunked out of college her freshman year, and she's a junior now. She has learned, and she was telling me this yesterday, that not getting something the first time or the second time or the seventh time is just a challenge for her now, because she knows that if she puts herself to it and uses all of the resources from the instructor to the book to the computer to the internet to her classmates, that she'll get it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, that's just really fun to know I can do that.
Right.
Because, you know, I asked her some very pointed questions. So, you know, she perseveres, she's resilient, and those are habits that we are trying to help our students develop.
All
so
right.
I love it.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for spending your time. Thank you for preparing. And of course, I sent these questions and stuff to you ahead of time. And because I didn't want to hit you head on with it and catch you off guard. And I'm thankful that you were able to come out and to take the time to do this with us. This may spur on some more questions, some more comments. I'm perfectly aware of that. And you and I have discussed that you are willing to come out and do this again if there are more questions.
You bet.
And so if you have questions, you have comments, you can text in or call into that line, 208-254-0059. You can email them to me here at the radio station, kvsi@dcdi.net. You can email Mrs. Stevens directly at tstevens@blsd.net.
And that's Stevens with a P-H.
P-H-E-N-S. Yes. And I'm sure that if you have questions other than that, you can also direct them directly to the teacher or the administration in your school and get some answers to some of the questions that you have. So don't just sit and be mad that there have been changes made. Let's work together, because it's here to stay. It's the new way of learning, and we want the kids to succeed.
Definitely. All right. Our kids are too important.
Absolutely. Our number one resource.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.